We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic. What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. Today is June 13th, 2022, 10 days from the NBA draft. Jonathan Osborne here. A healthy dose of KT, producer Kevin, this week. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Jonathan. I'm doing great. Great to be back. Back-to-back episodes. A new record for yours truly. Don't get used to it. But no, just kidding. Glad to be here as Luke is finalizing his journey back to Central Florida. Whole family moved. Got there safely. They're getting settled. And we'll see him back on the show soon.
Yep. Kevin, every single time, I know that, like, you know, you don't love being on the show, whatever the case is, but every time we do one of these, we get, like, multiple comments. Like, we love Kevin on the show, we want more Kevin, so just keep that in mind, you know. The listeners love to hear from Kevin, so we love having you on the show. I appreciate you stepping in while Luke is making his journey across the good old US of A, and it's good to have you back. We got some exciting stuff to talk about on this episode. We want to catch up with Kevin, and we haven't really gotten Kevin's take on how he feels about, you know, the number one pick and who he might be looking at. We also got probably like the biggest piece of Magic news since the draft lottery that Thursday. Jabari Smith Jr. worked out for the Orlando Magic and met with the media. We're recording this actually Friday night just because our schedule is this week kind of crazy. So if we miss anything Saturday or Sunday and you're listening to this on Monday the 13th, that is why. But before we get to that, Kevin, the Lightning win game four at home, and we said on the podcast the other day, it felt like Lightning in six. They go to Madison Square Garden, big third period, two goals in the third period, and the Lightning are coming home with a chance to close out the series and go to their third straight Stanley Cup final. How are we feeling?
I know it's a little weird because this episode's going to come out Monday, and so the results of Game 6 are going to be well documented by then. But we said momentum is in Tampa right now. We said all I had to do was win one at MSG, and they did. So they got a chance, Game 6, to win it at home, go to their third straight Stanley Cup final. We'll see what happens. Like I said, as you're listening to this, you already know what happens. Hopefully they've done it. If not, they've got a Game 7 at MSG, which is tough.
This group has done it before.
I was about to say, this has been done before. That's right, at MSG. The weird thing is right now is that Tuesday night is supposed to be Game 7 at MSG. Justin Bieber has a concert scheduled at MSG.
Did you hear about Bieber today?
No, I didn't.
He no longer has a show scheduled for Tuesday night.
Ooh, they pushed it.
No. What? It's unfortunate, actually. He's got some kind of virus that is affecting, like, his ear, and it's paralyzing one side of his face.
Oh, what?
It's called like Ramsey something syndrome.
Whoa.
Go to his Instagram, and we're believers here, folks. Bieber is fire. I don't care what 100%. Anybody says.
Absolutely.
You go to his Instagram right now. There's like a 2-minute long video. He literally cannot move one side of his face. The eye on that side cannot blink, and when he moves his eye, the other eye tracks, but it like lags behind, if that makes sense. Yeah. So everything that I've read says that it is like treatable, but he's like canceled quite a few shows, is my understanding.
Wow. I totally missed that. I mean, there's a joke in there somewhere about, you know, Commissioner Gary Bettman maybe poisoning him with something so as to not conflict with Game 7, but you know, that dude's weird. But anyway,
Kevin is a morbid guy.
Yeah, that's true. I am. But no, I hadn't seen that, dude. That's crazy, man. Poor Biebs, man. We can't have that face be ruined. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, his voice still sounds the same, so I don't even, but while you got all that kind of stuff going on, it's best to just rest up and take care of that. So yeah, that will not conflict
not anymore
with potential Game 7.
But hopefully we don't need it.
Hopefully we don't need it. But like we said, you know, 2015, now it was Henrik Lundqvist at the time, you know, a little bit different goaltender. But it's so funny that the Lightning go up 1-0 and Rangers fans are chanting like, you know, Igor's better. Even the ESPN announcers are talking about, oh, you know, tonight, you know, Igor has been the better goal. It's like it's 1-0, and if it wasn't for the posts, this game might be, you know, 2-1.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it still doesn't sound like there's going to be any Braden Point in this series anytime soon. I know we've heard about him hitting the ice before the games and stuff, but
we'll see.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a great game.
That was fun.
Sergachev, you know, unlikely hero, but 2 goals.
Yeah.
In game 5, and the Bolts are coming back home. It's going to be like their 280th consecutive sellout.
I think the last one was 282, so it'll be 283.
It's really weird for, you know, a team that doesn't play in a hockey town.
Yeah.
280-something consecutive sellouts.
Yeah, not a great hockey atmosphere if you ask Mike Wilbon, so whatever.
Unbelievable. Clown. All right, Kevin, another thing that I wanted to talk about, I know you haven't had the opportunity to watch it yet, but Hustle came out. The new Netflix movie with Adam Sandler, starring Adam Sandler and Juancho Hernan Gomez of the, what team is he playing for now? I think he's playing for the Denver Nuggets. But the cameos in this movie, like Kenny the Jet Smith, the whole like Inside the NBA cast makes a cameo, but Kenny actually has a pretty significant role in the movie. Boban, Luka, Trey Young, our own Moritz Wagner, we'll talk about that in just a second. He's in the movie.
Aaron Gordon, right?
Aaron Gordon's in it. Just like there's probably a solid cameo. You're like, hey, I know, like Drew Hanlon is in it, the Pure Sweat. Like he's one of the most popular, you know, trainers amongst the NBA guys. He's in it. Willie Hernan Gomez is in it. There's actually a pretty funny scene where Juancho's character, his name is Bo Cruz, where Bo goes to work out with some of the Spanish professional guys. And Willie, his brother, is one of the guys on the Spanish national team. Jose Calderon's also in it. I was like,
oh, wow.
That's kind of funny. It's his brother. They actually know each other in real life. But
isn't it like the professor on there too, right?
The professor, some of the and one guys are in it. Yep. Yeah. It's really, really, really great. I mean, like Dr. J's in it. Wow. Anthony Edwards is in it, plays a pretty significant role. He's like the main antagonist of the movie.
Nice.
And it's just phenomenal. Like, just the trash talking, getting inside like the main character's head, just really did a great job in that movie. Tobias Harris is in it.
Okay.
Matisse Thybulle, Tyrese Maxey, Seth Curry, basically like the whole Philadelphia 76ers starting five outside of Embiid.
Yeah.
I know you haven't seen the movie, Kevin, but essentially the plot is Adam Sandler is a scout for the Philadelphia 76ers. And in the beginning of the movie, he's in Germany. He's scouting this guy who is projected to be the number one overall pick. They're calling this guy the German MJ. I forget what his first name is, but his last name is Haas. And Moritz Wagner plays this character. And Adam Sandler's character, sorry, folks, this is spoilers. Sorry if you haven't seen the movie. You might want to skip ahead a few minutes. But Adam Sandler like knows that there's something about this guy that the Sixers should not draft him. And he's in the scouting room, he's in the war room, he's telling the organization, like, don't draft this guy. And they end up drafting him, and he ends up being a massive bust. So it was a really bad omen for an Orlando Magic player to be in this movie, be the number one overall pick in the draft, and be a bust. When I saw that, I was like, this is not cool.
Yikes.
You know, 2.5 weeks away from the draft. I'm not feeling this.
Mm.
But
basically 7-foot light skinned center, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, I mean, you know, Chet Holmgren is it's a different frame,
right?
I think,
yeah,
but
yeah.
If that's the case, you know, it's just it's completely, it doesn't mean anything whatsoever.
Right. It's fiction,
but it's just a crazy
that is
coincidence.
Crazy, that really
and
is.
I saw that, I was like, I just 2.5 weeks away from the draft, this does not feel right. I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, so here's my question for you. Like you said, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't speak to this, but a lot of basketball movies have been made over the years. I'm not necessarily asking, you know, for you to rank it with some of the greats, but like, is it up there? Like, is it a good movie? Like, you know,
it's a good movie.
Yeah,
my understanding is that like the plot and like the story was written by the same guy that does a lot of the like My Player in 2K stories, which can be like very generic and cheesy.
Yeah.
And there is an element of that to this movie. I would give it like just as an overall film, like a solid B minus maybe. I didn't think the plot was incredible. Wancho has some really strong moments as the main character, but he also has some other moments where it's like, okay, like, the disbelief has now been kind of suspended a little bit.
Yeah.
But the cameos in the movie is to me is like really the like the hallmark of the movie. It's just every 5 minutes you're like, oh, I know that guy. Oh no, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, they got that guy. Like it's that the whole movie, which keeps it really fun. If you're a basketball fan, it's a must watch. In my opinion, it's not like with the Coach Carters or the Hoosiers or
Space
even the
Jam.
Air Buds. You know what I mean?
Right.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
What was the other one that I was thinking about?
Space Jam 2.
I haven't even seen Space Jam 2.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
Most of it. Not all of it.
Thoughts?
I was fine. Yeah.
It was fine?
I thought the preview was better than the movie. The preview got me really excited.
That's never good.
Yeah, the preview I was like, because I was really skeptical. I'm a huge Space Jam fan. I love the movie, the original. So
classic.
I saw the preview and I was like, you know what? This is going to be good. And it was fine, you know.
Right.
Whatever. Some people hate it. I didn't hate it necessarily, but
were you a big Disney Channel original movie kid as a child?
No.
So you don't remember Full Court Miracle?
I mean, I know it, but no, I couldn't tell you.
Luck of the
about
Irish?
It. Nope.
Nope.
Never heard of that.
Full Court Miracle, I always loved that movie as a kid. And like looking back, it does like a really good job of like explaining like Judaism a little bit and just kind of like the I guess the story of Hanukkah, you know what I mean? So that I always found that pretty cool. It's just a great movie, you know, good basketball movie, but yeah, Hustle, good movie, but not like in the upper echelon of basketball movies all time, but it's a fun watch if you guys, you know, have, I think it's like almost 2 hours long. If you guys have 2 hours, sit down and watch it. It's a lot of fun.
Sweet.
All right, Kevin, let's talk about the night of the draft coming up on June 23rd at Harry Buffalo starting at 5 o'clock. We will be there from 5 o'clock to 6:30 just hanging out. It's going to be a pretty laid-back atmosphere. It's not going to be like the draft lottery party. We're not going crazy. Just kind of if you guys want to come and hang out with us before the draft, we're going to be there hanging out, having food, maybe a cold one. But if you guys want to come out, we're going to hang out there until 6:30, then walk over to the Amway Center. We're going to sit in section 106 at the draft party, all try to sit together, enjoy the pick together. We'll cheer the pick, all that kind of good stuff. Kevin's going to talk more about that a little bit later, wants to share his thoughts. But make sure you guys go download the Orlando Magic app if you don't have it already. That is where you can secure your tickets for the draft party. You won't be able to get in the building without those. They are free, but download the Magic app and go ahead and secure your tickets. Before we get into some more Orlando Magic basketball, we do have a new patron this week. Shout out to George Hoppy. He is our newest patron. Thank you so much for supporting the show and kind of coming alongside us and helping us do what we love to do. We shout out our new patrons like that every week. If you want a shout out like that and you want to become a patron and help support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. We have 3 awesome tiers that you can select from, a number of benefits, depending on, you know, how much you want to help support the show. But every little bit counts. We really, really appreciate it. And then we do shout out every patron each week.
Hey,
the
Jonathan,
list is getting long.
Jonathan, I'm going to interrupt you here. I've got an idea. Are you ready for this?
I'm throwing
a curveball at you.
I'm ready.
I want to read the patrons today.
Please.
Can I do it?
Yes. I would welcome that. Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to read off our patrons. Thanks to the patrons. Here they are. Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, our buddy Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Norm L, Magic Player History, Julio, Bailey, Matt Lyman, Eric Segovia, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapon, Franz Goethe Fischow, Ryan Singh, Blake Bickerstaff, The Distract, Ya Boy Dave J, Eric Randall, Pierre A, Wally Akbar, Eli, Migzor's Nostalgia and M&M's, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey Joe Thomas, Stephen Walker, Little Penny, O Magic 11, Eduardo Sanchez, BRBS Creative, Dan the Man, and our newest one, George Hoppy. Wow, that was a lot of fun. That's great.
It's yeah. You can do that every week if you want now. Like if you just want to like if you don't want to be on the show but you just want to jump sure. in and like hit the patrons, that is totally fine with me. Hmm. And folks, the list is getting long. I don't know how much longer we're gonna be able to read every name on there. Technically, our Patreon says like our top tier. We will read them on every episode, but we just love you guys so much. We've been doing every single name, but just for the sake of getting through the episode in under 2 hours, at some point we are going to have to like make a cutoff and make a decision there. So, but seriously, appreciate your guys' support so much. It helps us do everything that we're doing, and every little bit helps. So thank you guys so much. We love you guys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Kevin, the biggest piece of Orlando Magic news since the draft lottery. We've had, you know, workouts, you know, the Magic worked out Keegan Murray. They worked out a ton of other guys kind of slated to go like late first round or maybe into the second round. But we finally got one of the guys slated to go in the top three. By all accounts, like reports, how much stock you want to put into those, that might be a separate conversation. Vegas betting odds. But by all means, this guy is the favorite right now to go number one. Jabari Smith Jr. from Auburn. Worked out with the Magic on Thursday for reports say close to 2 hours, which I'm not an expert, not familiar with kind of pre-draft workouts, but that is supposed to be longer than what is typical. And then met with the media afterwards. I think Wendell Carter Jr., Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, Jonathan Isaac, Cole Anthony, I think they were all at witnessed the workout. So yeah, Kevin, did you have a chance to watch like the media availability afterwards and kind of what were your takeaways?
Yeah, I did. I think it's interesting. First off, what cracks me up is the ways that people have reacted to this so far. Like you've got some people that say, oh, it was 2 hours. They loved him. You know, that means they just couldn't get enough of him. They wanted to. You got the other people that said 2 hours. Oh, that means that they saw a lot wrong with his game and they were testing him out. And I was like, nobody knows. Like, right now we're filling airtime. You know, these people that are saying that stuff, they're writing stuff for clicks and all that stuff. It's kind of silly season right now. So that always made me roll my eyes and the rumors that are out there that, you know, this front office just doesn't leak things. So as long as we true Magic fans keep that in the forefront of our minds, don't believe anything you read. This front office doesn't leak things. But with that said, the one thing that we can see with our own eyes was the media availability, which went like 9 minutes, 12 minutes, yeah. Something like that. You know,
it was
pretty lengthy. And so definitely watched that a couple times. You know, nothing really stood out to me, you know, and he's decent interview. You know, it's also got to remember he's 19 years old, and so he fielded questions well. My favorite part was someone asked if he was nervous, and he was like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, like, which I love. That's great. You know, he should have been nervous, you know. His first, by the way, this was his first of only two workouts. He said this was his first one. The only other one he's going to do is OKC, which I find interesting that he wouldn't also go to Houston at least, but got a lot of confidence that he's going to go in the top two. But yeah, so I love that answer. Loved hearing him be honest about that. Like I said, should be nervous, not only because it's his first pro day, but this is the number one pick and the team with the number one overall pick, I mean. And so every player wants that, you know, that title, you know, being first overall. And so that was cool. I loved him talking about, like you mentioned, the guys that were there, you know, kind of, you know, hanging out with him, you know, at the workout and kind of treating him like one of the guys. They didn't just blow him off. You know, he mentioned that and stuff. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, all in all, you know, good media availability. Obviously wish that we could have seen the actual workout, but that'll never happen unless we draft him. And then maybe someday that footage will be released. But all in all, it was pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I saw today that Nikola Jovic worked out for the Denver Nuggets, and they actually posted some of his workout footage. So I'm like,
interesting.
Part of me, like a real small part of me, wishes the Magic would do that, because like you just get like a little bit of a peek behind the curtain,
right?
But overwhelmingly, I'm happy that they don't leak anything, because it does not benefit them at all to do that. It makes us happy because we like to see more stuff, but it there's no good that can come out of it from the Magic to leak that. You
right.
know what I mean? If they post the video and he does really poorly, maybe they lose some leverage trying to trade out of, you know, number one.
Yep.
If he, you know, does really, really well, I mean, that's great. But, you know, maybe other teams are just like, no, you guys can take that guy. We're going to draft our guy, you know, so it doesn't really do anything for them. I want to play devil's advocate just a little bit here with you, Kevin, just because like listening to I try to pick up on like context clues in terms of like maybe that's how the workout went. Then when they asked him, you know, were you nervous? Oh, yeah, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous. And then they were asked him a question about Jamal Mosley, like, hey, like, you know, how did he interact with you during the workout? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and, you know, I get really down on myself after a miss. And he was just telling me, oh, don't worry about it, you know, just have fun. So those two, I'm like, maybe the workout didn't go that well.
Mm.
Is there anything to that?
I mean, there is now. You know, I hadn't really heard it that way, but now that you say that, you know, so you're saying maybe he had a lot of misses, and so Jamal had to keep picking up, you know. That's interesting. The one thing that I saw that was like not a red flag, but it was like I had a hint of orange on the flag, and this is stupid. This is kind of the silly season stuff I'm talking about. One of the questions was, could you see this being home? Like, could you see this being your place? And there was like a pause. Like, it wasn't like, oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It was yeah, I can do it. I was just like, you know, but again, we're nitpicking. It's dumb, but
I thought that as well. But I've just to be perfectly honest, I listened to it like five times just because you know I'm just trying to pick up on like every little nugget that I could. Like after like the third or fourth time, I just took that as like he didn't want to just be like, oh yeah, definitely. Like yeah, I want to be here. I don't want to be anywhere else, kind of thing. Because he does still have to have the other workout with OKC, mm-hmm. and you don't want to make it seem like you don't want to be in OKC. Like if he ends up there, you kind of get off on the wrong foot with the fans if it was like, oh, no, I only wanted to be in Orlando, and now I'm just kind of stuck here.
Right.
And again, only 19 years old. Obviously, his father being in the NBA, he is kind of that professionalism has been passed down, and he's been kind of groomed to know how to talk to the media probably from a young age when he started to get a lot of recognition as a basketball player. So he's been coached up on some of this stuff that I think. But yeah, the thing that I thought was cool about the guys being there and about them kind of interacting with him is the night that we get the number one pick, Wendell takes to Instagram and is like, man, whoever the pick is, we're going to welcome you with open arms. And it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to actually do it. You're at the lottery, like the lottery pick draft workout, a guy who like ultimately some of these guys are going to be competing for minutes with, mm-hmm. and you're there like talking to him, making him feel welcome. Sound like they were even like motivating him like throughout the workout and stuff. That's a lot of NBA talk is about culture, and it's kind of a buzzword. Everybody says it, but in my opinion, and we're a lot closer to the team than a lot of people, but it's real. Like the culture that we are building here in Orlando is actually special. You hear people say that all the time, but we just have example after example after example after example of that. Now I think it's got, we've got to be coming up on a year of Jamal Mosley being hired. Mm-hmm. And it seems like from that point, the culture really started to change. Not that it was bad before. This was not like a toxic environment, but Jamal Mosley and the coaching staff and the guys, the players that we've brought in, everybody's buying in, and the culture is really changing here in Orlando. So it was super encouraging to hear that. When asked about kind of what separates him from some of these other draft picks, he just simply said, like, it's my will to win. You know, I feel like that's what really separates me. I just want to win more than, he said, my life goal, my mission in life is to win an NBA championship.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, ooh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Just speaking on having the team there, at least most of the team there. This isn't like this is a consensus number one pick type draft like we've talked about. You know, it's one thing if it's like a LeBron draft and you're like, okay, this is the guy we're going to draft. Let's send everybody, all the teammates, come in for the workout. This is going to be your future teammate, so might as well start now. It's not one of those things, you know. I guarantee you John and Jeff aren't telling the guys right now who they're going to draft, and so they just presented opportunity. Hey, Jabari's coming. We'd love for you to be there, and then that's the number of guys that showed up. Now, talking about guys that are poking holes and you know, coming up with theories. Now, when Chet and Paolo have their workouts this week, we need to keep tabs of how many guys are there.
Jalen Suggs will absolutely be there for Chet, 100%. 100%.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, and Wendell will probably be there for Paolo, like a Duke connection, you know.
But I don't think Chuma was there at Jabari's. I'm not saying that's anything, but if I would have guessed anybody would be there, that would have been my guess. You know, the
he at least wasn't listed. I don't know, a couple people said, you know, just because we didn't see him doesn't mean he wasn't there. But
that's true.
But you're right. Yeah. You know, he might be out. Maybe he's recording a new record, maybe a new album.
There's always that chance. He could be filming music videos, you know, all kinds of things with Big Chum there. But yeah, it was just exciting to know that, okay, we are starting to get these guys in the building. Like you said, he mentioned he was going to work out for, you know, the Magic and OKC. I think that is more just like, there's no way he slips past three.
Sure.
So he, you know, he's just trying to go as high as possible. If he's not one, he's going to be two. I don't see any scenario that he slips past three. I'm sure his agent has told him that as well. So it's like, you know, thanks for the invite, Houston. But, you know, if you guys are where we end up, we'll be happy. But, you know, there's no way he slips past that. So I kind of get why he might not be working out with them. But it sounds like, you know, Chet and Paolo are going to be sometime this week. So that's going to be pretty exciting. I'm going to really be looking to see how long those workouts go.
Because
if both of those guys are just like an hour, then the pot thickens. And then it's like, okay, they either really love Jabari or they really hated Jabari.
Yep.
So to me, that will tell us something.
Sure.
If those workouts are shorter than his. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, once again, we're kind of falling into the same trap in some ways. This is silly season, and we're just trying to find anything and everything.
What the heck else are we going to talk
about? Well, I know, but I'm saying, but you're 100% right. Like, if it comes out that, you know, Chet was 45 minutes and Paolo was 3 hours, and you had Jabari at two, it's like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah,
you know?
So, I think it doesn't mean anything yet.
Right.
Once we have a bigger sample size, we could start to piece some things together.
And that's another thing I was wondering earlier today is like, especially for guys like John and Jeff and Matt Lloyd, who was a part of this process, obviously, up until, you know, a week ago or whatever it was, and their whole team, they've been working on this draft class for a long time. You know, it's not like they waited for the lottery and it's like, oh, let's figure out who we want to draft. So I've always been curious, like, how much do these workouts really play into the choice, you know? In my mind, I'm assuming it's like 97.4% has already been done. And it's like this little workout is maybe like 2.6% of their grade or something like that. You know, it's like maybe it can bump you from a B to an A. But outside of that, it's like I really don't know how much they play into the actual draft process other than the biggest one is the face-to-face interaction, like the personality and the character and like how they would fit chemistry-wise with the team. That's the biggest thing I think they probably get out of these workouts. But as far as like their abilities, you know, with the basketball or on defense or whatever, they pretty much, I would assume, know what they have. But that's just kind of something I was thinking about. But that'll be interesting to see later if they talk about, you know, if that workout influenced their decision with the pick.
I was thinking about this earlier too, and I think maybe there's an element of just like, okay, this is probably the most high-pressure basketball situation this kid has ever been in. It's essentially a job interview to be the number one pick, just to see how he deals with that pressure. Like, if he completely bombs and is, like, throwing up, blah, 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 blah. But Dante talked about this. He actually just made an appearance on the Orlando Magic UK podcast. He was saying, like, 15 years ago, they worked out some kid in the draft, and he was, like, thrown up and just, like, literally could not get through the workout. He was so nervous. And that guy went on to become a Hall of Famer. So he didn't drop any names of who it was, but it's just interesting that sometimes the workouts can go really poorly and it doesn't actually end up meaning anything in terms of like the player.
Right.
Raptors fans, whenever we start talking about Scottie Barnes and Jalen Suggs and they like to disparage Jalen Suggs, they try to point to the fact that there is rumors. I don't even know if it's actually really been reported, but rumors that Jalen Suggs performed very poorly shooting the basketball in his workout with the Raptors, and we now know that the Raptors are the only team that Jalen Suggs worked out with. You know, he didn't work out with any of the top three last year, Detroit, Houston, or Cleveland. Toronto was the only team that he worked out for. And they say, oh, he purposely threw the workout because he didn't want to be here. That's why we hate him. That's why we don't like him. And I'm just like, look at the season he just had. He shot 21% from three. Yeah. What makes you you think he did that the whole season on purpose because he didn't want to play for the Raptors?
Right.
Like, get over yourselves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it's good. I would love to know, like you said, how much of the workout actually plays into. Maybe if guys are, like, super close and they're having a hard time deciding between one guy or the other,
right,
then maybe the workouts really do come into play. But I think I probably would be similar to your thinking that most of the work is already done. This is more about just like getting the guy in the building and finding out what he's really like in that kind of environment. See if he's coachable, you know, see how he interacts with, you know, the staff in the building, and not necessarily like the basketball ops side, but like the people in the cafeteria and the coaches and stuff like that. Like, what kind of person is he?
I think,
especially with this front office, it's probably a lot of that.
That's what I was going to say, especially with this front office, especially with this organization. Even predating this front office, this organization has always had a very high emphasis on high character guys. They just don't draft guys with baggage. Like, they just really don't, for better or worse. We've missed out on some guys, you know, basketball-wise, because of that, you know, ever since, you know, this franchise has been around, really. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably the biggest thing they look for in these workouts. But we got a couple more coming this week, so that'll be interesting.
Now, Kevin, I want to kind of pivot and talk about your feelings about the pick. One thing that just came to mind as you brought that up, and I've been thinking about this just kind of randomly over the last few days. You know, nobody really knows what the Magic are going to do, but it always feels like Vegas kind of has an idea of what a team is going to do or the outcome of a certain event. Paolo Banchero is like far behind Jabari and Chet. Jabari, you know, last I checked, was like minus 400. Chet was like plus 350. Paolo was like plus 2,500. So far behind the other two in terms of odds. One instance that happened this year while he was at Duke was the issue with Krzyzewski's grandson and Paolo being in the car while Krzyzewski's grandson was driving under the influence of alcohol, that kind of run-in that they had with, you know, the police there in Durham. Do you think potentially that is, we always talk about if these guys have baggage, if they're not high character guys, I was like, how could he be so far behind these other two? And that's one of the only things that can come to mind. I honestly don't think it is a big factor, but that I'm just trying to grasp how they think he is such like a far third, you know, choice for the Magic.
Yeah, I would find that hard to believe that that is the thing that has influenced Vegas. Maybe that's something that influences the front office. I still, and it's hard. I'm conflicted because Vegas always knows. Like, that's why they're so good at what they do.
Someone asked me on Twitter, sorry to interrupt you. Somebody asked me on Twitter, is Vegas ever right? And I said, it's an entire major city built on people losing their money betting.
Right.
They are right most of the time. That's how they make money.
It's a multi-$100 billion industry because they get it right, you know? But like that's where I'm so conflicted is like, I know Vegas gets it right, but I also know this front office doesn't leak. So how is Vegas so confident right in this pick when I'm still convinced that this front office has not leaked a word to anyone about what they're going to do? So That's where I feel super conflicted. But to answer your question, I would have a hard time believing that that has influenced Vegas. But like you, I'm shocked at the gap between Jabari and Paolo. It just blows my mind.
My thinking, and again, it doesn't make sense because they don't leak anything, but if Vegas is adjusting those odds because they know somehow how the front office feels about like that kind of incident, we're getting way deeper into this than I wanted to. It is most likely completely insignificant, but it's the dead part of the season before the draft, and I'm just racking my brain about this stuff kind of all day long, and now that is what is spilling out. But Kevin, Luke and I, we've been talking about this for the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks now. We've had a ton of guests on the show talking about this. We've kind of run through our feelings about the number one pick a million times, it feels like, at this point. We have not heard your thoughts or kind of your thought process and how you're feeling about the number one pick. So I wanted to take this opportunity to ask you, Kevin, where are you at right now?
Yeah, I'm going to give an answer that not a lot of people are going to like. I don't know. Like, I'm so torn.
Thought you were going to say Shaedon Sharpe at one.
I should have.
No, I'm kidding.
I should have. I'm so torn, Jonathan, just because none of these three guys, I don't look at them and I go, that's the guy. Like, I haven't experienced that yet. And that's probably a good thing, because in the past I have experienced that and it hasn't worked out. You know, like, I thought Mario Hezonja, I thought that was a great pick. I was like, Crobie, like, man, this guy is going to be awesome.
Dude, how excited did you watch that first Summer League game?
Of course, yeah.
That was one of the best days of my life.
It was great. Oh my gosh, yeah. So all that to say, like, I don't look at any of these three guys and go, oh, I want that guy. But in the same vein, I'm also at the point now where I fully trust the front office, probably to a dangerous level. Like, and they could draft one of those three guys. They could draft someone not even on the radar on draft night at number one. Either way, I'm going to be like, okay, that's the guy. I trust him. You know, for me, I don't know if I should put this all on one pick's shoulders, but it's the Franz pick that just like solidified that for me. You know, they've had some good picks along the way. Definitely had some misfortune in the injury department, but the Franz pick for me, I mean, it was just the biggest home run we've hit in a long time.
Can I ask you a question about that really quickly? Because some people have countered that in saying they just got lucky with Franz, because if they would have known that he was going to be this, then you take him at 5.
No, yeah, I think the Magic knew what Franz could be. I think Franz became that earlier than even the Magic expected. Maybe I think that's the way I would look at it.
That's fair.
Because I think the Magic, obviously by drafting him 8 when people expected him to go mid first round or later, the Magic knew what they were getting, but I think even Franz is ahead of their schedule. I think that's what it comes down to for me. But either way, you also have the chance at 5 to get a super elite talent. And I would also say there is a chance that if Jalen Suggs goes 4, that they do draft Franz at 5. I'm still convinced of that. But I think with Jalen falling, they were like, man, we got to risk it for the biscuit. Like, we have a chance to get a guard and a wing, you know, with these two picks. I think they went for it. But I genuinely think if Jalen's picked 4, there's a chance that Franz goes 5. I still think that.
I also genuinely think that there's a chance that the Magic felt like they just had this, like, uncovered gem that no one else knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a workout with the Magic. The Magic still have never confirmed that they had a workout with Franz Wagner. But Franz Wagner said it on, like, one of the All Access episodes, like, recently after he was drafted. He was saying, Orlando was the only team that I worked out for. And they kept that completely under wraps. They still haven't spoken about it to this day. So they promised him, they said, do not work out for anyone else, and we will draft you at 8. So the Magic were like, we don't have to draft this guy at 5 because nobody knows about him, and he didn't work out for anyone else, and we're going to draft him at 8. A lot of mock drafts had him going like 10, 12, 13. So when the Magic took him at 8, people were like, whoa. Even we were like, whoa.
Right.
So we weren't expecting him to be there, to be the pick at 8. But yeah, I think I'm there with you. I trust the front office because of the Franz pick.
Yeah. Now, I'll just give my thoughts on the three guys. Jabari, for me, again, it's another one of those guys. I know Jabari's the favorite. I know Jabari's also the favorite with a lot of Magic fans too. I recognize that. I think Jabari has definite potential, obviously. Like, his shooting stroke is beautiful, you know, and he's got the ability to knock down shots from all over the place. I also love his defense. And, you know, all those things combined, you're like, man, you should love this guy. I'm still not there. Like, I like him for sure. Is he number one overall pick talent? I don't know. Chet, I think, has a ridiculous ceiling. Like, he's such a question mark. He also has a potentially low floor. Like, let's be real. He might just be a rim protector who can also, you know, cut to the basket or, you know, pick and roll, occasionally pick and pop out. But he is the most intriguing one to me because I'm like, he could, like, what he could become is so tempting. But I really love Paolo. Like, Paolo is a dog. Like, we do not have a primary, like, get me the ball guy, and Paolo is that. And I love that about him. He's the one that I think is maybe would be the most challenging to fit with the guys that we currently have, you know, with guys like Jonathan Isaac. And but like I said, I just love the fact that you could get him the ball and he's just going to go get a bucket. Like, we don't have that right now. I think some guys maybe could become that, but that's what I love about Paolo. And that's why I just don't understand the gap between Jabari and Paolo. So all that to say, I still don't have a favorite. I know that's lame, but that's the honest truth. Like, I'm okay with any of those three guys. And even if the front office reaches to someone else, I'll trust them. But that's kind of where I am right now. Maybe that'll change in the next week and a half, but that's kind of where I am.
So we have a poll up on Twitter right now, and it's got 391 votes so far. Jabari with 52% of the vote, Chet 29, and then Paolo at 19. So Jabari is, like, by far and away the favorite. And then Chet is kind of trailing behind, and then Paolo is just, like, being, like, kind of left in the dust. But it's no secret that I'm kind of leaning Jabari, but let me make this clear again. I like the idea of Jabari. If the Jabari that we saw at Auburn is just going to be, like, is his floor, and he's going to get a little bit better at all of those things, and that's going to be him, to me, he's not the number one pick. You have to pick Jabari if you're confident that he is going to evolve in these other aspects in terms of a ball handler and as a playmaker and facilitator for others, and he's gonna evolve into, like, your primary scorer, and he's gonna become this, like, alpha personality. If you have any question marks about that, then he's not the number one pick. To me, those things, if you believe he's gonna become that, then to me, you go for him. He's the safest pick. He's gonna fit so well with the team. He's gonna have a high ceiling. And then to me, it's Chet, because of the things that you mentioned. Bar minimum, he is going to be an elite rim protector, like, right, elite. From day one, he's going to be incredible, I think. I don't think he's ever going to put on a significant amount of weight. So if you're one of those people buying and drinking that Kool-Aid, I'm sorry to tell you, he's never going to have, like, this bigger frame. He's always going to be a more slender kind of guy. With Chet, it's like, what does the offensive ceiling look like? Because if you believe he's really going to be able to handle the ball and, you know, behind the back and cross guys over and take them off of the dribble and get to the rim, then this is a guy that we've never seen before. Like, I'm not going to say he's better than Kevin Durant, but that's not Kevin Durant. Like, people are comparing Chet's handle and everything. It's not Kevin Durant.
No.
It's something completely different, especially when you add, like, the rim protection. And Kevin Durant can be a great defender in his own right, but this is a very unique prospect, the likes of which we have never seen before. My concern with Chet, again, is just, like, the durability, and can he reach that offensive ceiling? Because if not, then he's just, like, I don't know, 25% better than Rudy Gobert. Right. And is that a guy that you take at number one? I don't think so. Then we go to Paolo. And Paolo is the guy that, like you said, is a dog. Just give him the ball, he can go and get a bucket. Some people are questioning whether he's going to be able to use that physicality at the next level. The kid is still only 19 years old.
Yeah.
Let's not act like this is as big as Paolo's going to get. That is right. Not the case. The kid still has plenty of time to put on another 15 to 20 pounds and use that physicality. I don't think we've seen the pinnacle of his physical and athletic ability. That is not the case. Can the shooting, you know, improve a little bit? He had a really good stretch at the end of the season that kind of brought his numbers up a little bit, but he also had a really cold stretch right before that. So the 33%, I'm pretty confident that's where he is, at least the end of the season at Duke. Now, has he improved on that since losing in the Final Four to my North Carolina Tar Heels? That is very possible. With Paolo, a lot of people are questioning like the defense. I see the capabilities there for him to be a solid defender. I don't think he's going to be this turnstile that a lot of people seem to think. That doesn't make any sense to me, especially if he ends up with a team like the Magic with the coaching staff and the culture that we have. So I am literally okay with anyone in the top three. My preference is Jabari. My heart says Jabari, but it's the idea that he is going to evolve into this type. And I'm trusting John and Jeff to make that decision. If they don't pick Jabari, I'm going to say, okay, he's not going to evolve into that, so he's not the number one pick, and we're going to rock with whoever the guy is at one.
Yeah, that's where I am, because all the question marks that we have for all three of those guys, the Magic front office is going to draft based on their assumptions that they are going to improve in those areas, right? I mean, you talk about Jabari and Chet. If Chet is drafted number one, they're going to say, okay, we're drafting him number one because we know he's a great defender. But because we're drafting number one because we believe that he can evolve into a great playmaker, ball handler, primary guy, whatever. And same thing with Paolo, except Paolo's would be more so, can his range be extended consistently, and can he play at least decent defense? And not just because of the culture of defense that we have, but our personnel as well. Like, there are a ton of great defenders now surrounding whoever this pick is, you know. Could be Jonathan Isaac and Wendell Carter Jr., Franz Wagner, you know, whoever, Jalen Suggs, Markelle Fultz, you know, line him up with whoever you want. You could potentially kind of, you know, I don't want to say hide him, you know, because I don't think he's that bad of a defender, at least not right now. But either way, like I said, full trust in the front office. I'm excited for the mystery of this. Like, this is kind of fun. I hate that, you know, we still have to wait so many days, but the mystery of not knowing who we're going to have is kind of fun. I think it may be a little more fun than a surefire number one pick. Now, obviously, I'd rather it be a LeBron or something where it's like, you know, he's going to be a GOAT. But this is still fun. I like the banter on Twitter and stuff. As long as it stays, you know, clean and non-toxic. There's been some toxic stuff out there, but all in all, a lot of fun. And we'll see how it shakes out on draft night.
One thing, I don't just keep ringing the Jabari bell, but I think one thing people are not talking about Jabari enough, because he is such a great shooter and he is just so dynamic offensively, is the kid is a legitimate defender.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
You put this guy next to Jonathan Isaac or Wendell or Franz Wagner with Jalen Suggs and Markelle Fultz. Like, if we draft Chet or we draft Jabari, I am not going to accept anything less than a top 10 defensive team.
Right.
Anything outside of that is a failure. And I think it would not be difficult for this team to end up top five defensively in the league with that personnel.
Right.
That is, to me, like, you can put that up against any defensive personnel in the league with that kind of squad.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they ended up, I want to say, top 15 last year or close to it. Definitely by down the stretch, they were in the top 15 in the last couple of months of the season. I remember that. But I remember their defensive numbers kind of skyrocketed overall as the season went on. I know Jonathan's looking it up right now. But either way, those guys, absolutely. Like, especially, I mean, yeah, Chet and Jabari. Jabari, perimeter defense is legit. Like, and the idea of pairing him with, like, Jonathan Isaac, they could switch everything. Everything. They could switch every positions, all five positions, him and Jonathan Isaac, which would be a lot of fun. That definitely does excite me. And like we talked about earlier, Paolo's defense for me is not a super huge concern. I think he has a lot of other pros that potentially outweigh it, but in this era, having guys that can do both is super important. So definitely Jabari and Chet kind of lead the way in that category.
All right, so the Magic, and you're right, I was looking it up. The Magic actually finished 19th on the year in terms of defensive rating, but for the better part of like the first half of the season, Kevin, they were like 26th, 27th in defensive rating. From January 1st to the end of the season, they were top 10. They finished 10th in the league over that stretch in defensive rating. So to me, that you add one of those guys, Jabari or Chet, and 10 should be the floor.
Like, right. Add Jabari and Chet, healthy Markelle, and a J.I.
Yeah.
10's the floor.
Well, Jabari or Chet. I would love to add them both.
Sorry, yes. Jabari, Chet. I would love to add them both. One of them, Markelle, J.I. Yeah, 10 is the floor for sure.
Yeah, so you say it's fun. It's anxiety-inducing for me. Like, thinking of who the pick is going to be and just, like, I know there's going to be a part of me that is going to be slightly disappointed if it's not Jabari, because I just like, I like the kid. I like the way he plays. Out of the three, his game is probably the most similar to mine in real life, and I always kind of gravitate towards those kind of players.
Interesting.
I'm a sniper, bro. That's what I do. Okay. My handles are, you know, they're okay. I'm not anywhere near the defender, but that's my thing. Like, I've always been one of the smaller guys on the court, and if you want to stay on the court at the rec as a small guy, you got to be able to shoot the ball.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. And, of course, the Magic have needed a shooter for 10 years. So, yeah, I like the idea. There will be a small part of me that is going to be disappointed. I'm not going to lie about that, but I am still going to act accordingly no matter who the pick is. And I think this is a good segue for you to kind of take over the conversation here.
Yeah, we started this campaign at the Six Man Show. Came from a conversation that the three of us had.
Kevin drove the conversation. Let's be honest.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking about the fact that over the years, you know, we watch the different drafts and ESPN comes on and sometimes they'll even have a camera, like it's a watch party or something. And I was like, man, we're going to have the number one overall pick. And so all the eyes are going to be on Orlando, specifically all the eyes are going to be on Amway Center. And I was like, man, with all some of the toxic stuff we've seen on Twitter and some of the really strong opinions, which are great. Opinions are great. Let's be very clear. I would just hate for the Magic to draft someone that maybe was a surprise, maybe wasn't the popular pick, maybe wasn't the favorite, and to get a negative reaction at Amway for multiple reasons. Number one, because of the national opinion. Like, I don't want, like we said, I don't want to be on ESPN and show guys booing and like flicking cameras off or whatever, like at Amway. Like, I know it's extreme, but it's been done before. Like, let's be very clear. I was at the old Amway Arena in 2000. What year was that? Six? Did we draft JJ? 2005 was Fran. 2006, I think, was JJ. I was there for that. I was young, but 14, I guess. I booed that pick. You know, I was like, I was not a JJ Redick fan in college. I was a child and I booed JJ Redick, and he ended up becoming one of my favorite Magic players of all time. Not just because of you know, him as a player, but because of his development. Like, when he first came in the league, and his first couple years in the league were tough. Like, he was not seeing the court. He was not good, but he evolved as a person, evolved as a body. Like, he grew his body really well. He became a better athlete and then ultimately a great basketball player for the Magic and for several other teams. But I don't want us to boo for the national spotlight. But above all else, I want a positive reaction for that player, because that player is going to see it. And I would hate for their first impression with Orlando and with the Magic fan base is for them to be on Twitter or TikTok or YouTube and see people like booing him. Like, what does that do for a 19 or 20 year old young guy who's just had this amazing, momentous occasion in his life, and the people that are supposed to be cheering for him aren't? And in fact, they're doing the opposite. So we came out with this whole like cheer the pick campaign. And it's not because we want people to be fake. Like, we don't want you to go up there and like cheer jubilantly if they pick, you know, Keegan Murray at one. Like, obviously we're going to be surprised at something like that. But also, by the way, if someone's going to surprise us, it's going to be this front office. I keep saying it. But if that happens, like, we're going to be surprised, but I would be devastated if our reaction was to boo. Like, if the overall reaction in the room was to boo that. We can be surprised. We can be taken back a little bit. Like, whoa. All right, Keegan Murray, let's go. Like, the end result needs to be positive. Like, we need to be cheering for the pick. We need to be cheering for the front office. We need to trust them that this is the right move. And years down the road is our time to react negatively if it doesn't pan out, you know? I think Jeff and John know that their jobs are on the line with this pick. Like, you can't get this wrong. You can't get the number one pick wrong. And they know that it may not be next year, it may not be the year after that, but, you know, year three, year four, year five, if this pick doesn't pan out, you know, they're gonna be losing their jobs by then. So all that to say, this campaign came about. We want positive reaction. You know, we don't want you to fake it, but we just don't want the negativity, the toxicity. Like, that's the kind of stuff that gets us on the map for all the wrong reasons. That's the stuff we want to avoid. And so between Cheer the Pick and our second campaign that's coming out today that I'm starting is Put Your Phone on Do Not Disturb when we're at the draft, because if you spoil the pick for us, I am going to banish you.
Did you guys see what happened to the Lightning fan at MSG? That will be. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm totally kidding.
That's a little far.
I'm totally kidding. Just a little jokey joke. Just a little jokey joke. Okay. I don't advocate violence. I just want to make that clear. But we will be very disappointed in you. Yes. We won't be mad. No. We'll be so disappointed in you.
Yep. So anyway, those are my two things. Yeah. Cheer the pick and don't ruin the pick. That's what it should be. Cheer the pick. Don't ruin the pick. Don't be that guy.
And we're not trying to like be like, oh, we are like the authority for all Magic fans and you guys need to do what we say because it's the right thing to do. Like, I welcome people disagreeing and like wanting to draft other guys, and that's totally fine. The thing that has been bothering me is the people that are like, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z if this is the pick. Like, let's just all relax. Like, 5 weeks ago, we were all like, we just want to be in the top three. Give us Chet, Jabari, or Paolo. That's all we want. And now that we have number one, it's like, forget about that. I have this argument with people all the time. Like, now that we have quote-unquote, like, adult money, and whenever we're talking about food establishments, and people are like, oh, Taco Bell sucks. That place is so cheap. That place is garbage. Like, don't forget about how much you loved and cherished Taco Bell when you were a junior in high school and you got your check from Winn-Dixie and Taco Bell was holding you down at like 11:30 at night. Like, let's not, like, beggars cannot be choosers. You appreciated it at one point. You wanted it more than anything in the world at one point. And now that we have it, we're acting like we're too good for these other guys. And we talk about, oh, we love Franz. Like, we weren't sure about the pick at the time, but I think we're all pretty happy with the pick at this point. And to me and to Kevin and to a lot of other people, it has built a lot of good faith with the fan base to where if it's not the guy that we are super excited about, we're going to say, okay, I don't know about this, but for now we're going to trust you. And again, you don't want the players first. This player is living out their dream on this evening. When they are the pick, it would be really the crappiest thing in the world for them to see the fan base that they just got selected as the number one pick in the draft to see them booing him. That would just not be a great way to start their relationship with the fan base. So that's why we're trying to do what we want to do. You can want to pick whoever you want to pick. That's totally fine. You reserve your right to not go crazy if it's the pick. You reserve your right to, you know, 6 months from now, if they're not playing well, or 2 years, 3 years, you want to call them a bust, you want to do them whatever, that is totally fine. We're just saying for the night of the draft, while the cameras are on us, do not boo the pick. Just act appropriately at that time. That's all we're saying. And we're saying shut your freaking phones off.
Absolutely, 100%.
Kev, I think we squeezed a lot of juice out of this episode. We weren't sure how we were going to do it, but we're rolling into the 50 minutes here. Do you have anything else that you want to add before we go ahead and sign off?
I don't think so, man. I'm excited. The clock is ticking down. I'll be there, and I know you'll be there, and I hope everyone at home listening or watching will be there too. It'll be a fun night, a momentous night, a night for the ages one way or another. This is a big moment for the future of the franchise, and we hope to see you there.
Going to be a big part of Orlando Magic history, so don't miss it. Again, we'll be there the night of the draft at Harry Buffalo from 5 to 6:30. Walk over to Amway for the Orlando Magic draft party, sit in section 106. Not going to boo the pick. We're going to put our phones on do not disturb, and we're going to have a great time. Get your tickets for free. Download the Orlando Magic app and get your draft party tickets. If you don't have them, they will not let you in the door. Kevin Tucker, round of applause, man, for stepping up during these kind of these few episodes where Luke has, you know, been driving across the country. So really appreciate it, man. Always love having you on. People love hearing from you, so appreciate it. Thank you so much. But for Kevin Tucker, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to the Six Man Show. We will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to the Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @SixManShow and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!